On Friday's Page One, President Obama outlined his vision of a Palestinian state. He said a lasting peace would require two states with secure borders. Also, we'll look at the workplace culture at the International Monetary Fund. Here in New York, a judge agreed to free former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn on $1 million bail. He's facing sexual assault charges. And we'll look at how Judgment Day has split some families. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama used a major policy speech to try to harness the political change that's still unfolding in the Arab world. He called for the borders that were in effect before the 1967 Arab-Israeli War to be the starting point for talks to settle the conflict there. It was the first time an American president has explicitly taken that position. He also said a new Palestinian state should be demilitarized. Deputy Foreign Editor Michael Slackman has this report.
He talked a lot about values in a speech that was high on rhetoric and initially rather short on specifics. He said the wars are over, bin Laden is dead, and then he talked a great deal about the Arab Spring and the rising up of ordinary people to topple dictators and autocratic leaders. Then the president tried to talk about the concrete ways in which the United States will support the continued development of democracy within the region. He threw out some modest economic proposals, including forgiving about $1 billion in debt to Egypt. Egypt has tremendous economic problems, and it's not clear that this is going to be enough to actually win plaudits, particularly in Egypt at this time. However, I'm sure it's already being seen as a positive first step, as the statement of commitment to Egypt at a time of difficult transition. What the president did at the end of his speech was he focused specifically on Israel and Palestine, because despite all the talk of democracy and need for reform, the cornerstone issue in this region is absolutely the Israeli-Palestinian issue.
Deputy Foreign Editor Michael Slackman. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet with President Obama on Friday. They're at a turning point in a relationship that was never warm to begin with. Netanyahu has complained the president has pushed Israel too far. He made that point again in an angry call to Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton just hours before Mr. Obama's speech. Also on Friday's Page One, a look at the workplace culture at the International Monetary Fund. That's where Dominique Strauss-Kahn was in charge for more than 3 years. He's now facing sexual assault charges here in New York, where a judge agreed to free him on $1 million bail. At the IMF, women employees say they were vulnerable to courtships that turned into harassment. They say that was a particular problem because they had no recourse under American law. U.S. laws don't apply at the IMF, and some experts say there's a line in its policy on sexual harassment that's encouraged male managers to pursue women who work for them. Dick Ebersol resigned. He's run NBC Sports since 1989, and he's engineered NBC's bids for the Olympics. But he said he couldn't come to terms on a new contract. Ebersol's departure comes several months after Comcast's takeover of NBC Universal. It raised speculation that Ebersol had clashed with his new bosses. He denied that, but some in television wonder if Comcast will be less aggressive about acquiring the rights to the 2014 Winter Olympics. Thousands of people around the country have spent the last few days taking to the streets and saying final goodbyes, this in preparation for Saturday, also known as Judgment Day. Believers expect they'll be absorbed into heaven. They believe non-believers will be left behind to perish. Times reporter Ashley Parker says Judgment Day followers often find themselves at odds with relatives whose main concern about the weekend is whether it's going to rain. In Los Angeles, Times reporter Adam DeGurney caught up with a man named Lewis Brown. Once he was a 6'11" high school basketball star. He went on to the University of Nevada at Las Vegas and seemed destined for stardom in the NBA. Now he's homeless. He washes windows at a gas station and collects tips for it. Family members said he was using cocaine at UNLV. His sister says drugs were his downfall. Inside Friday's Times, the Endeavour astronauts attached a $2 billion cosmic ray detector to the International Space Station. Scientists on Earth immediately began detecting subatomic particles from deep space. The Alpha magnetic spectrometer will keep looking for telltale signs of antimatter and the unseen dark matter out there. Scientists hope the data it collects and sends back will help explain how the cosmos originated. In the last few days, Libyan rebel leaders have announced a number of high-level appointments, including a new defense chief and a minister for reconstruction. One group has been lost in the reshuffling: women. The fledgling government has more than doubled in size, but women occupy just 2 of 40 or so leadership jobs. That's adding to concern about decision-making in a movement that was started by women, specifically the women relatives of men killed in one of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's jails. China admitted there's a problem with the Three Gorges Dam. It's the world's largest hydroelectric project, as well as a symbol of China's confidence in risky technological solutions. The Chinese State Council issued a vague statement saying there was trouble with what it called ecological protection and geological disaster prevention. It's not 1999, but the big internet IPO is back. The professional networking site LinkedIn went public and shares more than doubled. That could point to big numbers for companies like Facebook that are expected to go public in the next 12 months. LinkedIn opened at 83, up from its IPO price of 45. It went as high as 122.70 before closing at 94 and a quarter, with a market value of roughly $9 billion. Donald Trump's for-profit school is said to be under investigation. New York's attorney general is responding to complaints from past students at the former Trump University. They said they were misled into paying as much as $35,000 per course. A managing director at Trump's company says it has been subpoenaed. He says they'll cooperate. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.